This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd, al-yawm 15 min shahri Ramadan al-Mubarak 1444 al-muwafiq li 6 min shahri April 2023 واصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لمن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن الله عز وجل, today we continue from where we stopped, and last week we just finished with Surah Al-Buruj. So now inshallah we'll move on to the next surah, which is Surah At-Tariq. يقول الله عز وجل والسماء والطارق وما أدراك ما الطارق النجم الثاقب إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق خلق مما إن دافق يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب إنه على رجعه لقادر يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر والسماء ذات الرجع إلى آخر السورة. الله سبحانه وتعالى حسوب السماء والطارق. And this surah, one of the companions narrated, but the chain is weak, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading this surah before he accepted Islam. And in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, when he was leading his community the prayer, and he used to go and pray with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first and then come back to the community and lead them in the prayer. And you remember that hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed with them and it was late, but then Mu'adh went to his people and he started praying with them, and he recited Surah Al-Baqarah. And one of those members of the community found it very difficult to stand what Mu'adh is doing, because this is night, very late, and he is reading Surah Al-Baqarah. Young person, he has energy, you know. So he first prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was also long. When he came here to the community also, he started reading long recitation. So that person cut off his following to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and he prayed alone. So people talked to Mu'adh and they told him this is a munafiq. You know, subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and he asked the man, why did you do that? And then he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the reason why he did not follow Mu'adh. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry with Mu'adh. And he told him, don't become fattan. Fattan means somebody who is chasing people away from the correct approach. So one of the surahs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to Mu'adh to read in the Aisha prayer, he says, why don't you read وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. You get an idea. So this I have mentioned shows virtue. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it to show to Mu'adh that this type of moderation when it comes to the Isha prayer is needed. And the best surah to read in this regard is surah like Shams, so to Duha, is very light. You know, people can just finish praying and go back and sleep. Yeah, because Isha prayer is not easy. Yeah, it's not easy. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if people know what they will be getting if they pray in Isha, especially in Jama'ah, they will come to Isha prayer even if they are crawling, you know, to the masajid. Yeah, because at that time people are weak, exhausted, tired, you know. Yeah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the best is to delay it. You know, except that he doesn't want to put the ummah in a state of difficulty. That's why he let them pray in the first part of the time. So mentioning Surah At-Tariq as a proposal to Mu'adh shows a virtue. That's why scholars, when they talk about the virtue of a surah, they try to mention these type of statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the first story, as I said, is weak, so we don't focus on it. So at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. This is a swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He uses the sama, the heavens, not the space, but the heaven, you know, the one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited. So he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the sama wa tariq ay yuqsimullahu azza wa jalla bis sama'i wa nujumiha, the heavens and the nujum, you know, on the heavens, you know, the stars that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the heavens, which are there for several purposes. You know, it has a purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for adornment and beautification of the sky, and also rujuman lishayateen. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them to act as a rajm lishayateen. You know the shooting stars. Usually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throw the stars to the shayateen who are going to the heavens to steal from the information Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the angels. It's tariqoon as-sama. So this used to be, the sama used to be open before the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after he came and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him, all the doors to the heavens were blocked. But they still go, up to date, they still go. They go, one will climb the other one, one on top of the other one, until they reach the heaven. And they try to listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so that they can take something which they will be sharing with the magician. Yeah, the magician will take one truth and will add on top of it 100 lies. Yeah, so if people trust him in the first one, they will say, yeah, the second one also might be correct. Although they see him failing many times, but still, since the first one was accurate, yeah, because he heard it from the sama. Is that clear? So it was blocked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the sama and the nujum that he placed in the sama for several reasons. One of them is that they were meant to beautify the place. And the second one is to shoot those criminals who are going to steal information from the heavens. And the third one is to act as a sign, alama, guide, especially for those people who are sailing at night in the past. Yeah, they don't have these GPS and whatever we have. They use the Najm. They can use the Najm to tell you that the Qibla is here and we are heading towards this country. It should be this direction because of the star. Yeah, this is the knowledge that is beneficial. As for the other one, whereby they use that knowledge to tell Rayyan how long is he going to live. And a person will just look at you and check the Najm to tell him exactly how old is he. Yeah, that's Dajjal. Yeah, that's what do you call the job of the Arrafun. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever trusts them has disbelief in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get an idea? There is no way for this knowledge to be tolerated. But there is a hadith in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam as-Sulami, you remember the hadith of sneezing. When somebody sneezes and Mu'adh told him, Yarhamukallah. You remember that hadith, right? And the companions got annoyed. After the prayer, the Prophet ﷺ called Mu'adh and he told him that it is inappropriate for people to talk in the prayer. Because saying Alhamdulillah is talking to who? Allah Rabbul Alameen. That one is okay. When you sneeze in the prayer, you can say Alhamdulillah, but extremely silent. You must make it silent, because the one next to you, if he hears you saying Alhamdulillah, he's going to tell you Yarhamukallah. And saying Yarhamukallah, you are conversing with that person. Yeah, that's haram. So that's why when Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami, he said Yarhamukallah to him, people did not understand this to be appropriate. So when he finished the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called him and he advised him. He says, it is inappropriate for a person to talk in his prayer. So he thought he's going to get into trouble because the reaction of the companions was so harsh. And if now he's invited by the leader, most likely he is really in trouble. But subhanAllah, he found different face. He went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he found none other than leniency. He says, Wallahi ma ra'aytu mu'alliman qattu qablahu wa la ba'dahu mithlahu. He said, Wallahi, I have never witnessed and I've never saw a teacher before or after Muhammad that is like Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma rabani wa la kaharani wa la shatamani. He says, he did not beat me, he did not accuse me, he did not shout at me, he did not do anything except that he told me that it is inappropriate for people to talk in the prayer, and the prayer is for dhikrullah and the recitation of the Quran, you know, and those activities in the prayer only. And that's it. So he was so happy with the smile, he was so happy with the approach, you know, and that gives him what? Comfort. He relaxed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And honestly speaking, this is how it is. If you are a da'i and you are gentle and you are lenient, trust me, the community are going to come closer to you and they will share with you what exactly is going on in the community. And then you will be able to fix it for them. If you're so harsh, they will just leave you with your knowledge. And you will get harmed, they will get harmed also. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not like that. Very lenient, you know, somebody who is approachable. So when Mu'adh feels comfortable staying with him, subhanAllah, he forgot what happened. He started sharing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam what people in his land are doing. Yeah, so one of the things he told him, he said, Ya Rasulullah, in my place, there are people who are doing the khat, yakhutun. Al-khat, this is a fortune telling. You come to a person, he will take a pen or a stick and start drawing some things on the what do you call it? Sand. Yeah, we can make some connection with that. They're connecting the earth to the sky to get you those information, kadhabun, you know. So they will tell you when something is going to happen, you know. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, is that correct that people can do that? And then the Prophet ﷺ said this, which I will ask you this question. I'll see to what extent you will be able to answer my question. He said, "Kana nabiyun min al-anbiya yakhut, faman wafaqa khattahu fadhak." He said, there used to be a prophet of Allah ﷺ who is in the khat. He was asked about khat. Is it okay? Rather than saying to him yes or no, but he told him, in the past, there used to be a prophet who was doing the khat. Whoever's khat coincide with the khat of that prophet, then that's it. That's okay and fine. The scholars, all of them to my knowledge, said this hadith is the biggest evidence to show that khat is haram. That khat, you know, that job is haram. But the Prophet ﷺ did not say haram, but he says, كَانَ نَبِيٌ مِنَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ يَخُطْ. Where did you get that tahrim thing from the hadith then? أيها الأصوليون والفقهاء. Okay. Yeah, that's literal meaning. I went from that. Yeah, the whole picture. Where do you get impermissibility? Yeah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, is it okay what they're doing? And he says, there used to be a prophet who used to do that. Yeah, but it used to be, because sometimes if I refer, and especially prophet used to do that, what does that signify? You know, halal. At least in his time is halal. You know, yeah. At least in his time is wait, Khalid. Yeah. So if we do the istishab, we drag the thing up to our time. Yeah, it remains halal. Since if Allah Subhanahu wa Taala did not tell us this is haram, because what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala doesn't want, He tells us this is haram. Yeah. But if Allah did not tell us it's haram, how can I get from this text that the khat is haram? Huh? No, kana doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean something is prohibited. I mean, just because he used to do it and now it's rejected. No, by virtue of istishab, should be okay. Especially if I hold upon the opinion that says, شَرْعُ مَنْ قَبْلَنَا شَرْعُ لَنَا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ دَلِيلٌ بِنَفِيهِ. The Sharia of those people who came before us, it is also our Sharia, unless if I have evidence that says it is not part of. Wait, Khalid. Where is the taqeed? I want you just to use your usul to take from this text itself that this job is prohibited. He says what? فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ. He said, فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ. Does that mean haram? Yeah, so that's what I wanted you to say at the first place, not kana. No, it wasn't. They don't use that kana, but they said that the evidence is in فَمَنْ وَافَقَ خَطَّهُ فَذَاكَ. It's just about how do you, nobody ask you to find that. Nobody ask you to look for it. But they said, this is another way by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to tell you it's prohibited because there is no way for you to have access to the khat of that prophet. But we did. No, there is no way for you. How? No, but if we did, no, how? 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 How do you find? I'm really interested to know how. So that next time if I teach this, I can tell people. But however, Khalid found it.
No, because in principle, if you are saying it is haram, yeah. Even if you find it, then it's not jahil.
No, that is another text. I don't want to go to that text which says it's haram. We have a text actually, not this one. But I just want us to exercise, you know, our skills, you know. The scholars, when they use this hadith to make it prohibited, which part of the hadith are they taking to make it prohibited? We already have a text that says, "Man ata arrafan aw kahinan faqad kaf fasaddaqahu faqad kafar bima unzila ala Muhammad." That one is more than enough for us. But as an just exercise of the brain, the scholars uses this every hadith to also attach it to that other hadith that says this job is prohibited, because they said there is no way for a person to have the khat that is according to that person. So we don't know. Since we don't know, then that means we have to avoid it, because in Islam, if you're not sure of what you're doing, you might fall into haram, you might not fall into halal. Islam asks you to avoid it completely. The least you can say for those type of things is the shubha. That's the least you can say. And the shubha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qawlan wahidan wa qat'an, qala faman ittaqa shubha, he told you to stay away from shubha. Yani, as long as shubha exists, shubha is something that tanaza'a fihi at-tarafan, janib al-halal and janib al-haram, and you're not sure which one. And the possibility of you doing the wrong one is always there. But don't forget, as I said, in this case in particular, with that, we don't depend on this. We have already what said is prohibited. But you know, scholars, when they want to tell you something is prohibited, they combine everything. You know, the one that is straightforward, the one that is not straightforward, combination of all of these, you know, can construct a very strong side, you know, an evidence to reject the thing. So that's why they will mention this hadith. They will mention the other one that is straightforward. If they find another one also which is not directly, which you can even say that, no, this one doesn't necessarily, you know, confirm what they're saying, but they will mention it as istinas. You get it? So take this note. We are not using this hadith to be the only one that we are using to prohibit this job of arrafun, so that Khalid will not come tomorrow and tell me, what if he find the thing, you know? Yeah, the scholar said there is no way for him to find it. Yeah, because this is what exactly happened, and it passed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us the details about it. And the only access we have is through either the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't have it through the Quran or through the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it has to be part of the Israiliyat. And if the sanad is authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it will be part of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if it is not authentic, then it is just Israiliyat that we have to throw them away. And we can say qat'an, what is mentioned to us is wrong, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we are supposed to stay away from it. So it's not optional that I can go and look for the way it is been done by that prophet. In a way, I can say that, okay, let me go and check with the Jews and the Christians, maybe they have some fact, you know. Even if you find it, this that is a illa here which can cause me to reject it based on that other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says in our Sharia this is absolutely wrong. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam probably might not have used that hadith to address that issue. And for sure that person understood what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. But I'm just replying to Khalid, what if, inshallah. Okay, so back to the ayah. It says was samai wa tariq. So these are the three main purposes mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the reason why the najum were created. Zina li sama, beautification of the sky, and also the second one, rajman li shayateen, those shayateen who are going to steal information from the sama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw the thing against them. And the last one is to be used as a guide. Yeah, that one is okay. In the past, they used to use it a lot, but in our time, we have other method which are also confusing, right?
Yeah.
Because you have the Qibla detectors, right? Yeah. Sometimes you have a couple of them, but each one of them is giving you another direction, you know. So which one you trust? Allahu alam. So if you have three, be number four. You are the number four in making ijtihad. You also do your ijtihad and then try to see how to reconcile between them. But the use of the nujum is really, really, really somehow accurate for those people who are expert in it. That's why Allah SWT says, وَعَلَامَاتْ وَبِالنَّجِمْهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Since Allah SWT talk about his blessing upon us by giving us these things that we use as alama, that means he's very effective in those days. It was very, very effective. قَالَ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الطَّارِقِ. That's tafsir al-Qur'an bi al-Qur'an. Allah SWT says, what do you know about the tariq? What tells you about the tariq? قَالَ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. Is a najm that is so bright. Yeah, a tariq, because usually it comes at night and disappear in the daytime. And this is shanu al-nujum, right? A tariq, when you hear the word tariq, usually the tariq, that is another meaning for tariq. But tariq usually is the one who comes to the place at night. Yeah, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody is allowed to come back and it's a layambagi, not nobody is allowed, but it is not appropriate for a person yatruqu ahlahu layla to come and come back to his family at night. It's wrong. You are away from them on a journey. When you come, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't surprise them by coming at night. Yeah, people might take it as a surprise, but this is wrong, you know. Yeah, and really wrong, really wrong. Yeah. When you marry, you will understand why is it wrong. Yeah, because sometimes you might not be happy to find the house in the way it is. And whose fault is that? Your fault, because you do not inform your wife you're coming. She's the only one who is living at home. So she left these things to be done later. And you just jump into the house just like that, because this is your house. And you see her in an inappropriate way. Yeah, she just come out of the kitchen. And you come with those junoon of a journey, you know. And then you get annoyed. But whose fault is that? It's your fault. And even the arrangement of the house also, if she knows you're coming, she will fix the house according to what will make you happy when you come back to the house. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, nobody is allowed to come back to his family. I'm sorry, I use this word a lot. He says, it's inappropriate for a person to come back to his family at night without sending a rasul. He said, you have to send a messenger first to inform them that you are coming. He said, so that one who is not ready to receive you should be ready for that. You have to remove anything that will make you sad, make you upset, you know, to avoid you coming and getting annoyed with your family while it is your mistake. So he used the word yatruqu ahlahu layla. Yeah. So when they use this tariq, they are talking about the thing that comes at night, right? In the dua that you are doing, Dawul Arq, you know, if you cannot sleep. One of the things you mentioned, he says, وَلَا طَارِقًا إِلَّا طَارِقًا يَطْرُقُ بِخَيْرٍ يَا رَحْمَنِ. Except the tariq that comes with good. Because not every tariq comes with evil at night. So you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all types of tariq except the one that brings a good at night. Okay, anyway, so Allah is swearing by these things, the sama and the nujum. And he has a right to swear by anything he wishes, and we are not supposed to swear by anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ. So usually when you swear, you are going to emphasize on something that is less or very important. Very important. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to remember and to reflect. He doesn't need to swear. Just the fact that it is coming from Allah is more than enough for us that this is the most important thing. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since this is our nature, when somebody says "Uqsimu billah," you take it more serious, you know, for some people. As I told me, there was somebody when he says "Uqsimu billah," that's mean he's lying. I thought this is from some younger people, but then I heard somebody refuting that khatib of Safinat Nuh. It's one of his features. Whenever he says "Uqsimu billah," that's mean he's going to lie. Yeah, that one, that's the one that says America, U.S. exists in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, you know. Yeah, that's how they brought it on the media. We heard, I heard the khutbah, you know, the guy was saying that, yes. Nuh was asking Jibreel, what is this? He said, this is America, and this is Australia, all of those. Yeah, so you have ajaib in this dunya, right? So usually when a person swears by Allah, he's going to emphasize on something that is very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also swears by himself, and he swears by things which he created, and he doesn't have a right to do that. We have no right to swear by anything other than him, but he does have a right to swear by anything he wishes. So he swears by At-Tariq, and also by the Sama, to emphasize on what? He says, in kullu nafsin lamma 'alayha hafiz. He says, every creation that I have created, every nafs, there is a protector appointed for it. Every nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed for it a protector. And this might be the reference in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahu mu'aqibatun min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi yahfazunahu min amrillah. These are the mu'aqibat. Some scholars said it is not those yata'aqabuna fikum. These are different angels. But mu'aqibat, these are the angels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in front of you and behind you also. Their job is to protect you from any evil that could possibly affect you, which is not written for you, which is not written against you. Yeah, there are many interpretations by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars, that says that they stop anything. When a calamity, when a test comes, they check the list with them. If it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, they will let it pass. If not, they chase it away. SubhanAllah, how much you pay for this ni'mah, you know? Your protectors, protecting you from the evil that are surrounding you. You would never be comfortable, my dear brothers and sisters, if you are to know what is around you. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you. And so much, you know, the angels, and also your body also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put lot, you know. These are all ni'ma that are included in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa fi anfusikum. Yeah. That's why this hand, what do you call them? Sanitizers, right, that people use, you know. Apart from whether you agree it's najasa or not najasa, but whatever, you know, you have some other doctors that are warning people that if you choose to go, then you have to be moderate. Yeah, because they kill all the bacteria, the good and the bad ones. And I love his example, which I always shared with you. I love his example. He said, if they are to use the microscope, the big one, and on the pillow that you wash when you, the one that you wash when you are, the one that you wash before you sleep on it. I mean, you're sleeping on it, but you wash it now. Now it's clean, right? If they are going to use it, whether they wash or they don't wash, but if they're going to use that one, if you see the creatures that are living in the inside the pillow, he said you will never agree to sleep on it again. And if you go to your bed sheet, also the same thing. There are creatures, you know. One of them was studying biology. They went to the lab. He says, they were saying, like, Oksimu billahi, this is not the water we drink. They bring the water they are drinking. They got clean water, you know, filtered and everything. The water, and it, those one. And they put the thing. They saw some creatures inside. Some of them are saying, no, this is not what we're drinking. But do you see them? No. This is, this itself is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to let you see. And also, they don't harm you. The system, in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it, in the way you're protected, you know, he said, in your skin, you have those protections, you know, that are protecting you from those things that are existing in the place where you sleep. That's why you sleep, you wake up, you don't feel anything. Why? Those creatures, why, how come they don't harm you? When you wash it, you use some chemicals that wash the good one. Those one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them as himaya for your body. And now you are removing them. And then you don't have that protection. Then your skin will be exposed to. Yeah, to him he said water, if you are using water at all time. And Allah, I went to a country, you know, during the corona time, they have two options. They have sanitizers, they have water. Yeah, you choose one. The security is there, you cannot pass without using one of them. If you don't want this, then you use this and then you go. To him he said, use water a lot, wash your hand a lot. You know, that's normal water, inshallah we'll keep the good one and eradicate the bad thing which are not supposed to be with you. So I just want us to feel how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us, and compare this with our attitude and our behavior towards him. You have this huge amount of protections, you know, around you wherever you go, in which if Allah is to show you the evil that is around you, you might not live comfortably. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in kullu nafsin lamma 'alayha hafiz, every soul has a protector that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned for it, you know, to be protected from anything that is not written against him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقُ. And therefore, you should also reflect upon the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. One of them is the source and the essence of your creation. He said, look at the process of your creation. Allah says, فَلْيَنْظُرِ الْإِنسَانُ مِمَّ خُلِقُ خُلِقَ مِمَّا إِنْ دَافِقُ. You are created from the water that is dafiq, it's a dafiq. The one that ejaculates, pushes each other when it comes. And that's the reason why those scholars said, the source, the main source of the creation of human being is coming from the male, not the female. Because what is known naturally, the water that pushes, both of them have money. Both, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned when Umm Sulaym asked him, Ya Rasulullah, فَهَلَ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ غُسْلٍ إِذَا هِيَ احْتَلَمَتْ. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah doesn't feel shy of saying the truth. She wanted to ask a question which many people cannot ask. She said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't feel shy of saying the truth. She said, فَهَلْ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ مِنْ غُسْلٍ إِذَا هِيَ احْتَلَمَتْ. Is it wajib upon a woman also to take ghusl of janaba if she has a wet dream? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, إِذَا هِيَ رَأَتِ الْمَاءِ. He said, yes, she has to take ghusl if she sees water, just like the way the brother sees water. So one of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ was quite surprised. He was asking, Ya Rasulullah, what kind of question is that? But is it even possible for a woman to see the water? And the Prophet ﷺ said, so, but if you believe in that, then min ayna yakunu shabah idhan? How come sometimes we see the baby resembling the mother? Yeah, that means she has also impact in that, as the Prophet ﷺ described, the water that comes from both of them in As-Sahih. So both have, but the essence, the origin, the main thing is coming from the male, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khuliqa min ma'in dafiq. In the hadith of Alim, that also you can see this confirmation, and also the attitude and the behavior of the Quran also can confirm this. But this doesn't change the reality that the mother is the mother and she will remain the mother of the child. It's not that the child to say that, no, I come from my father, you know, I do not come from you. No, she remains the mother. That strong right that Allah SWT put on the child, you know, and him also is not only his father. He's part of him is from her, and part of him is from the father. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, إِذَا عَلَى مَاءُ الرَّجُلِ مَاءَ الْمَرْأَةِ. He says, أَذْكَرَ. He says, إِذَا سَبَقَ مَاءُ الرَّجُلِ مَاءَ الْمَرْأَةِ أَذْكَرَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. وَإِذَا سَبَقَ مَاءُ الْمَرْأَةِ مَاءَ الرَّجُلِ آنَثَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. He says, when the water of the male superseded, you know, it's like racing. The Prophet ﷺ talk about a sabuk. Whoever reached first, what does it mean by that, by the Prophet ﷺ? Whoever reached first, you know, he's not talking about the first person to discharge, but he says, whoever reached first, the child will take the nature of that person. If the male one, then he'll become male. If the female one, it will become a female. Bi-idhnillah az-zawjal. But then when it comes to the shabah, he looks like who? This one depends on the which water is more, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet. And this is the reconciliation made by Ibn Hajar in his book Fathul Bari. So there are clashes of the hadith concerning this matter, which one is for what. But he says the one that talks about the sabuk is referring to dhukura wa unutha, either male or female, depending on which one reached first. And when it comes to the shabah, which one the baby looks like, it depends on which one is more, according to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, khuliqa mimma in dafiq. Human beings are created from the water that ejaculate. You know, yakhruju min bayn as-sulbi wa tarai. So here you have the clashes of the scholars. Many of the scholars said, sulbul rajul, the backbone, wa tarai bil mar'a, and the chest of the ribs of the woman, right? That's why the source of the child is from the back of the brothers, and for the sisters from the ribs side. Allahu Alam. This is mentioned by the scholars. That's why some said when Muawiyah was hit by that criminal on his backbone, he has never been able to produce children after that. Some of our scholars, Sheikh Atiyah, used to tell us that one of the wrong way for a person to sleep is to sleep from behind, because ihtikak al-idham with the ground can cause a wet dream and the desire to be provoked, because that was the source. Wallahu alam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the child is created from min bayn as-sulb wa tarayb, between the sulb, which is the backbone, and the tarayb. Whether this is the sulb of rajul and the tarayb al-rajul, or the sulb of rajul and the tarayb al-mar'ah, this is the differences of opinion by the scholars. But there are some scholars who says we are referring to both, you know, sulb al-rajul wa tarayb al-rajul. And there are some who says, many actually, who says this is the tarayb of al-mar'ah wa sulb al-rajul. There is no much of, you know, significance in these differences, because the Prophet ﷺ confirmed that the baby is coming from both. You get the idea? The baby is coming from both, for sure. It's a combination of the water that is extracted from the male and the female. قَالَ يَخْرُجُ مِنْ بَيْنِ السُّلْبِ وَالتَّرَائِبِ إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَاتِرٍ. SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he has the ability and the power to take it back. When he says he has the ability and the power to take it back, here the scholars argue, what does it mean? Does it mean the power and the ability to take it back to the place where it came from? Sulb al-rajul wa tara'ib al-mar'ah. This ability, is there? Yes, absolutely yes. Iwallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability and the power to take the water back to the place where it came from. But some scholars said no. Allah is talking about the day of judgment. Bidalili ma ja'a ba'da al-ayah. They said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the day of judgment. إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. He's referring to the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiated the creation of this person. الَّذِي يُبْدِعُ وَيُعِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the creation, and he has the power and the ability to bring the person back on the day of judgment. So إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ. The closest opinion is the one that says Allah is referring to the day of judgment. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to bring that person back to him for accountability. He says, إِنَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَجْعِهِ لَقَادِرٍ. When? يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَائِرِ. The day in which the secret is going to be exposed. يَوْمَ تُبُلَ السَّرَائِرِ. The day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to expose the secret. Whatever you do here which you hide, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakshifu al-mukhabba wal-mastur. Yeah, that's where one of the worst moments a person could possibly be in is to show people righteousness, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is very bad. Yeah, these ones, when they reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they might come bihasanatin kajibali tihama. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy them all. The companion says, Ya Rasulullah, who are these people who have hasanat so much, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy them all? He said, these are the people like you. They pray like you. They give charity like you. They do like you. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ إِذَا خَلَوْا بِمَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ انْتَاكُوهَا. But unfortunately, whenever they are in a place where nobody can see them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so that's why if there is anyone you can cheat, it shouldn't be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, we come with righteousness outside. We show people good face, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are different personalities. It's very dangerous for us, because there is a day called Yawm Tubal As-Sarai. The thing you are hiding, it comes. And usually it comes actually before a person leaves this life. Right? The last part of the life of a person, if he is not that person that is good, it is going to be the reflection of his previous life, if he doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the meaning of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna ahadakum la ya'malu bi amali ahli al-jannah hatta ma yakunu baynahu wa baynaha illa dhira' fayasbiqu alayhi kitabu faya'malu bi amali ahli an-nar fayadkhulaha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is according to what appears to us is good, but in secret he has some other things which nobody knows. So these secret things which he is doing to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with usually appear during the death. Yeah, that's why Ibn Rajab says, فَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ الْخَوَاتِيمُ مِيرَاثُ السَّوَابِ. Yeah, the end is a reflection of the your daily life, the beginning. If a person doesn't repent, when death comes, the reflection of his evil life might take place to deprive him from having husn khatima. So that's why we just have to be very careful. We're going to make mistake whether we like it or we don't. Yeah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a way out. What is the way out? Tawbah. Repent constantly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try to stay away from things which are wrong. You know, whenever you do the wrong thing, just repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and try your best not to continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean everything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يُرْفَعُ لِكُلِّ غَادِرٍ لِوَاءً عِنْدَ إِسْتِهِ يُقَالُ هَذِهِ غَدْرَةُ فُلَانِ بِنُ فُلَانِ. On the day of judgment, that person who used to cheat in secret, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring his cheating. We have a banner, you know, being placed next to his back, the seat, the butt, you call it. They will place this banner in the place and everyone will see. This is the deception or Gadratu Fulan. Yeah, whatever you used to do in this life and you don't repent, if a person goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reflection of that might take place in which everyone is going to see it. So Allah says, Yawma tubla as-sarai, the day in which the secret is going to be exposed. Allah says, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. And nobody amongst the human being will be given a power to protect and defend himself the day they move back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there will be nobody to support you and nobody to help you. So a person will come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have no support except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept for you, which is your righteousness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq wa sanat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجَعِ وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا فَمَحِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears again by the sama that الرجع. الرجع is the matar or the sahab that contains matar. These are two different interpretations by the scholars and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some scholars said وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الرَّجَعِ, he's swearing by the clouds that carries rain. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ, that الْإِنْسِدَاعِ وَالْتَصَدُّعِ, meaning it opens for the plants to be able to come out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by that because this is really ayah, this solid and hard and rigid place, but then suddenly you will see it being open and a very fragile thing will come out of it. That's really, really ayah that shows the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that there is somebody in control. Allah says, وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. This time around, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to emphasize on this fact that since we're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't fit human being to reject the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is the truth. Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. You know, that's the Quran. And that means adl, just. And everything that you see in the Quran is muhkam and it's the truth. And there is no error, there is no mistake in it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Yeah. The only correct book which has no mistake in it whatsoever is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As some scholars mentioned, that أَبَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتِمَّ إِلَّا كِتَابُهُ. Yeah. أَبَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَتِمَّ إِلَّا كِتَابُهُ. So this book is the only guidance we have attached to it. The explanation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us, which is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because having Quran without the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will go astray. That's why you see the Quran, you and those people who rejected the sunnah and they focus on the Quran, they don't accept the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they went astray. Some of them end up, you know, subhanallah, claiming that there is no Islam, you know, it's only one religion. Muslim and Christian and Jew and Buddhist and everyone, we're all the same. As long as you live with others in a state of peace, this is okay. You know? There is no way for a person to survive without using the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. It is not a joke. It is a reality. It is a truth. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these kuffar, they always make makr, plot against you, trying to, bring you into the state of difficulty. They are always plotting against you. Allah says, wa akidu kaida, and he is also planning against them. they have this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his. As he says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. SubhanAllah, if you're fighting somebody, if that person knows what you're doing and you don't know what he is doing, the battle is over. It's done. Yeah, because he knows your plan and he does, you don't know his, the battle is over. Imagine imagine if the one who is fighting you is Allah, who even if you know what he is planning, you cannot do anything. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَدَمْدَمْ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّهَا. What comes after that? He said, وَلَا خَافُ عُقُبَهَا. It doesn't even care about what comes after that. SubhanAllah, like what some scholars said, there is nobody on earth, no matter how much strong is your kingdom, when you kill a person, you have this minute percent of fear that a revenge might be taken by somebody afterwards. Sooner or later, something might happen. Even if it's not going to happen, but that minute percent of fear is there. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes action and he doesn't care. He says, وَلَا خَفَ وَقُبَحَا. If Allah is fighting a person or a person is fighting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلْيَهَذِ بِاللَّهِ, it is only one side win. There is no possibility for the other side to win. Even if you know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is planning, you will never win. But how about if they are not aware of what he is planning? The concept here in this life says, if you don't know what your enemy is planning, you lost the battle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he fights, nobody can stand the battle with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the economic system that we live in is always cracking. We always suffer. Up to date, we are suffering. And we will remain suffering because we go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We base it on what? Riba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, taking riba is equal to waging war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no way for Murabi to succeed in this life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَكَرُوا مَكْرًا وَمَكَرْنَا مَكْرًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They plot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they were doing their own plan. They're doing their own preparation and we have ours. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they don't know what we are planning for them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْذُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ مَكْرِهِمْ أَنَّا دَمَّرْنَاهُمْ مَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Look and see the result of their makr. The way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we swept them completely. وَقَوْمَهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And of our scholars said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erased them from existence. Even if they do exist, they cannot do anything. But they were swept out, you know. None of them exist. Allah says, فَقُوْتِعَ دَابِرُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said, those oppressors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cut them off from the root. He says, Alhamdulillah. You Allah, when oppression is cut off, Alhamdulillah. قَالَ وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا فَمَحِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. The Prophet was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to give them respite. Just ignore them. Just keep moving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just giving them respite. The Prophet said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْهِلُ وَلَا يُهْمِلْ. Allah give respite. Whenever he decide to hold a person accountable of his deed, that person cannot escape. That's the meaning of إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْهِلْ وَلَا يُهْمِلْ. There is no way for negligence to exist in the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the commentary of this surah in brief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that which is said, and it is correct, and whatever is said which is not correct, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our weaknesses. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu feekum. Right, do we have any questions? I have 2 minutes. And I can ask, I can extend it to 5. Now it's 6:25. By 6:30, I will run away.
The first question is, what is the actual last hours of Isha? Is it midnight or before Fajr?
The best opinion amongst the opinions of the scholars is that Isha prayer ends by the midnight. This is what the Sunnah of the Prophet has supported, and this is what the Quran also supported. Up to date, I have never come across a hadith attributed to Rasulullah that is authentic, which says that Isha time ends by Fajr time. Although most of us believe in that, but the Prophet said, وَوَقْتُ صَلَاتِ الْإِشَاءِ إِلَىٰ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ. He said, إِلَىٰ نِصْفِ اللَّيْلِ, until half of the night, midnight. That's why Al-Amir al-San'ani says, we don't have evidence like Asr. Asr is supposed to end 30 minutes before the sun set. Yeah, because the Prophet said, إِلَىٰ أَن تَصْفَرَّ الشَّمْسُ. That's the end of the time for the Asr prayer. But we have another hadith that says, مَنْ أَدْرَكَ رَكَعَةً مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَصْرِ أَوْ مِنْ الْعَصْرِ قَبْلَ أَن تَغْرُبَ الشَّمْسُ فَقَدْ أَدْرَكَ الْعَصْرِ. That's why they divided the Asr time into two. To Mukhtar and Daruri Daruri and the Mukhtar now. So the time for the normal people and the time for people who have excuse. If you don't have excuse, there are some scholars who believe that if you pray Asr close to the sunset, you might lose your Asr prayer. There are some scholars, because the hadith is very straightforward on that matter. But if you have excuse, then you can delay it until the last minute, then you pray Asr prayer. But he says we couldn't see this approach or this statement when it comes to the Isha prayer. So that's why we keep that hadith Jibreel. That is a hadith from Jibreel alayhi salam, connected to this matter. We keep it in the way it is. And also another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, salat al-isha ila nisf al-layl. And also the Quran, approaching the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, aqim salata liduluki shamsi ila ghasaq al-layl. Allah advised, ask us to establish the prayer from Zawal al-Shams. That's the best meaning of Duluk al-Shams. Ila Ghasaq al-Layl. Ghasaq al-Layl, this is the midnight. Wasat al-Layl. Okay, when the darkness of the night is complete. So he says from the Zawal al-Shams ila Ghasaq al-Layl. Yeah, from the Zawal al-Shams, that means Zuhur, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. But then Allah SWT did not say أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِجُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى الْفَجْرِ. If he says إِلَى الْفَجْرِ, then we include Fajr. But he says إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, pause, he stopped. And then he says وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. And then he separated Fajr from the rest of the prayers. So that's why those scholars, they said, just like the way by consensus of the scholars, that Fajr is not connected with Dhuhr, it is also not connected with the Isha. So even though if a person takes the opinion of other scholars who says it is up to the Fajr time, I believe being on the safe side is always good. Yeah. 1 minute left.
A question from a sister. When does a woman know that her menstruation has stopped? Is it when the blood is gone or till the white discharge comes?
There are two ways the scholars have mentioned, either the Qasat al-Bayda or the Al-Jafafa al-Jufuf. Yeah, then when the place is completely dry and she put whatever she put to check the soft cotton and she couldn't see any sign. Yeah, any sign whatsoever, because the sisters used to take it and put in the place and send to Aisha radiallahu anha for verification. And you can see dot of the sign of the blood in it, but they're very small amount of it. But then Aisha will tell them, be patient. Yeah. She used to tell them, be patient until the time you see Al-Qasat al-Bayda. Qasat al-Bayda is a clear water that comes after the hide, which shows that the rahim now is clean from the hide. So either this or that. The best, the strongest one is the Qasat al-Bayda. You get idea? It comes. But this issue is one of the most complicated matter in the fiqh. Yeah, in the fiqh, yeah. That's why Allahu Alam, scholars said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based it on wujud, existence. Yeah, whatever comes, as Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah mentioned, that no blood that comes from a woman except hayd. Whatever comes out of woman, we take it as hayd. For us to say this is not hayd, this is istihada, we have to check with the doctors first. Yeah, and unless if we're sure, if the doctor tells us that this is not hayd, this is damu fasad, then we take it as fasad. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the only blood that Allah SWT has written for the Banati Adam is the hayd. Yeah, Allah SWT grant us good. Finish? One small question? Okay. Let's see. He said small question.
My question could be, so what time are we supposed to start our evening adhkar?
After Asr. The morning should be after Fajr. Okay, the evening after Asr. Asr time. You get it, not night. Yeah.
If you can have a small question, sir.
Another small question.
Yeah. What do we consider Jama'ah? because the brother has asked a long question. The conclusion of the question is, what do we consider praying Jama'ah? Is it 2 people, 3 people, 10 people?
Two. Jama'ah, right?
Yeah,
Al-Jama'ah. Yeah. 2 people. If you have somebody to pray with you, inshallah, you got the Jama'ah. Bidhanallah Azzawajal. As long as you catch up the last ruku, you don't miss that one, then you got the Jama'ah. Is that? Khalas, that the small question done? Okay, Alhamdulillah. Okay. Another small follow-up question. I'll give you another glass.
It's just about the same question about the lenses. If they see the white discharge, but there's also yellow discharge.
It depends on the time it comes. If it comes before the tuhur, if they see the tuhur, the real tuhur comes, and then that yellowish or sufra or kudra, they call it, when and then it comes after the clear discharge has arrived, then this is the one that Ummu Atiyah says, "Kunna la na'uddu as-sufrata wal-kudrata wal-sufrata ba'da at-tuhuri shay'a." They're not supposed to count it. But if it is between the that water is mixture with other colors, it comes before the real tuhur, then this one should be counted as part of the haid, inshallah. Does it? Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu.